Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, let's flush the format as we're fresh off an off week. It's open topic in the first segment.
It's a little scary.
It is. Alex Hayden with MRN joins us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll get you ready for Iowa as well this weekend. Maybe we'll do that if we don't have anything in the open topic, whatever segment. Fantasy standings, we've got them. We really don't need to read them, I guess.
No.
Because, well, we could. We could read back who won the previous week.
Well, race. I mean, yeah, that would be awful convenient, wouldn't it?
That would be great. I think that we should do that. Chase standings, and plus much more. I still haven't took the junior meeting out. I think I'll just leave that in there from now on. It's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air. What I mean is Junior gets to meet us. That's 2 weeks ago. By Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, all things Alabama. Getting ready to get it cranked up. Coach Jason Hildebrand, to the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions. I'm all over the place.
You're all over the place.
Already. Keeping us on the air. Sits across the table, and that's the super producer, Scott Webb, who I saw, Jason, he actually had to go back to work this week. I know
I've never stopped working, but yeah, go ahead, Jason, with your story.
Go ahead with your story. Again, he's actually had to do some preparation, some work, you know, because Everett's school is starting back. Jason, I know you and I, we're year-round.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. My man Webb is all over the place in these
I'm grinding schools. Right now. Yeah,
I see him at the school board meetings when
he's got probably somebody now, right, that does that.
No, you know, you have all these things at the Pi Center that he has to be in charge of coordinating, and you know,
I need to hire this guy.
I mean,
he's my PR rep.
He's earning his keep.
Yeah, I mean, you keep going. You don't have to stop there.
So what about the times that we are in the summertime when we come in here and he looks fresh off the couch where he's been hanging out at the house?
Amen. I can't answer that.
Yeah.
I mean,
clothes
grinding.
Clothes wrinkled.
I'm grinding
up
every day, buddy.
Smells like grass because he's been out mowing, you know, while we are
grinding.
All, we're dressed up because we've been
First of all, I've never.
It's been a stressful
day. The last
day.
Time I've seen you dressed up.
Stressful.
Not
extremely
a post-walk.
Stressful.
Something going on.
Yeah, you need to take a post walk because if not, you're going to have to go get a prescription from Mouse Creek Pharmacy. And they've grown so much, they need another location. That's right. Great hometown service can now be found at the newest location, Georgetown Pharmacy. You guessed it, off Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. Get away from that big box store. Visit Mouse Creek or Georgetown Pharmacy today.
Maybe you should have worked on reading a little.
Reading Rainbow taught me back in the day. You know that song? Did you ever watch that?
Mm-mm.
No. You're too old, Scott. I think it was probably
way too old for that.
I don't know. I was trying to think of a show that might have been Howdy Doody, maybe back in the day for you. Mid-50s, late-50s.
Oh, come on now.
Come on, man.
What?
I'm 57. I'm not at 107. You're not talking Arnold over here.
I don't even know when Howdy Doody come out. That's just the first thing that came to mind. So.
I don't know.
Anyway, we don't have a heater dud meter. If we did, it'd be sponsored by Mark Gravel.
This opening has been a dud.
It has. It's District 5 City Council. Listen, vote tomorrow. Mark has a chance to win this District 5 City School board race. You want to make sure you jump all over that. All right. Anyway, where are we at? We're 4 minutes and 38 seconds in, and we've accomplished absolutely nothing. All right, so here's...
That's not any different than any other show.
This is true. One of the things that I heard this week on the Dale Jr. Download when I was weed eating last night at 6 o'clock, 6:30, because I have to work, is Dale Jr., I think it was Jeff Burton, one of the media members that has the show with Gluck. I can't remember who that might be.
Norm Bianchi?
No, is that who does it?
Yeah.
That's another guy.
Yep.
And then the guy who owns the Trett Smith, Marcus. They were talking about how drivers back in the day had a personality. Now there's no personality with some of these drivers because they're not allowed to because of sponsors. And they think that, you know, Junior was like, I think that they need to to be not just sign autographs at the trailer, which is a great start, but that's a one fan interaction at a time that a lot of these drivers need to be more active on social media and not be scared. As Jeff Burton said, turn the comments off. That's what I did. Post stuff, you know, and when he said that's what I did, referring to himself, post stuff about your life that people can see, and that's how they connect with you. Junior said, we didn't have that back in the day. Dad, talking about his Dale Earnhardt, did not have that back in the day. He had to go create that more. Now you have the opportunity to create more and show more of your personality to a larger number of fans or followers on social media, which then could translate to fans in general. And they think if that were to be allowed, and some of these sponsors, Jason, loosen up and let them do stuff, let them be themselves, that we could have kind of a resurgence of NASCAR.
Well, here's my take on it, and I don't know how you guys feel, but it's kind of just my personal thought. This is not indicative of the driver's abilities or things like that. But looking at NASCAR now, I feel like you got a bunch of Jeff Gordons out there. Jeff Gordon's a great driver. But, you know, you put him, you think about his time when in his heyday. You had guys in the track, and I'm not talking about social media. I'm just talking about guys that commanded attention because of their personalities. When they were on the track, guess what? You've got all these guys. You had the older guys. But then you had a squeaky clean Jeff Gordon come in. And true, he did have personality, but he was not one of those. It's hard to explain. It's hard to put into words. But a squeaky clean guy that was changing the sport, and then you come in with the Jimmy Johnson.
He was a not, yeah, those like Jimmy. Kind of guys. Those guys were all what I would say is non-disruptors.
Yes, just straight down the
line.
They're gonna
do what they need to do. They're gonna say what they need to say. But it's, I don't want to call it corporate, because I don't want to put a negative connotation on that. But to me, they're all this, you know, this day and age, the two issues I have, it seems like, in general. Now, there are people out there that don't like each other, but these guys all kind of like each other. And so that's one issue, is there's not enough.
Well, two of them don't, but one of them.
But there's real hate between those two.
But one of them,
38 and 77.
The 38 can't finish in the top 20. So
it right, makes no sense. And I get that. But don't you think that's why we've seen the 77 and Kostin Hosovar really become a fan favorite? Because he doesn't really care about what he says, when he says it, and who he says it to. He says what's on his mind. And we've talked about this for years on this show. This sport misses people like Tony Stewart that were willing to say what was on their mind. And it, yes, it may ruffle some feathers, but that's what this sport needs more of. It needs more personality. It seems too corporate. It's, hey, you know, I got to put all these hats on. They've always had to do stuff like that. But it seems like that persona has carried on to the outside track stuff. And I get it. There's a line you don't want to cross because you're so dependent upon sponsors paying for the things that you need to pay for so that you can ride rides. But you also got to be able to demonstrate a little personality and be able to show your authentic self. That's one thing that's great about this sport, is that people can see authenticity in this sport.
And I think, big word for you.
It is. And I think that's why, one reason why Hosovar has had such a surge in popularity this year, is because he's authentic. He is what he is. He's a little crazy. He's willing to say anything. He does the same thing when he's driving on the track. And I think people flock to those type of personalities. They get locked in. You either really hate him, which was Dale Senior's biggest thing. You were on one side of the fence. He was either your favorite driver or you couldn't stand him, but you had an opinion. And I don't think fans have an opinion on these guys outside of performance, because they're just so similar in nature. There's very few out there that kind of stand out.
We watch NASCAR and we watch sports for entertainment purposes. And that's just a given. So if you just go back, guys, you just think about it. Think about Deion Sanders high step into the end zone. You take that away. What does it do? What is Deion at that point? You think about Ray Lewis coming out of the tunnel. This is entertainment, folks. That is entertainment. That is personality showing out. Instead of just kind of just jogging out of the tunnel, you got this whole big production. And that's what we're lacking, just my opinion, is the personalities on these guys showing through.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be forced either. It doesn't have to be where so all three of us in here have, I think, different personalities.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily have to act like Jason. I can just act like myself, and people are going to like me because of the way I act, because not everybody likes somebody like Jason, right? Personality-wise.
Thanks.
So
that's a great example.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate it. That was a Scott. Great example.
We'll say Scott, Detroit Lions, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's the thing to me is that I don't want to see a complete flip-flop. Now, the thing about Carson Hocevar is he don't care. Like, do I think it's stupid that he flipped the guy off, you know, going into the pit area? Sure. But, I mean, like, I'm a 48-year-old male. I'm sure there's some 25-year-olds like, that's cooler than crap.
If you,
that he just flipped them off.
By the way, I'm 57. I thought it was awesome.
If you were in a room with 40 Jamies, I mean, that would not be fun.
No.
I mean, think about it. If I was in a room with 40 Jamies.
That would be a high-class room, I can tell you that.
Right now. I'm just saying, it would be no fun because you've got no arguments over anything. Everybody's
boring.
In agreement.
Oh, let's talk about banking.
That's what we're up against at this point, in my opinion.
Who's the radio show?
All these guys are the same. They're all the PR guys. They're all, you know, want to keep everything, PC.
There's a problem. You have PR guys.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. I think that's the whole
thing. That's the downfall of Ross Chastain, too.
Yeah, I think that. And he wasn't allowed to be himself. They've made them too corporate. You're right with the Jeff Gordon coming into the world.
I love Jeff Gordon. I think Jeff Gordon's great.
But he was the middle. He was in the middle. He had that personality, but he also was the corporate guy.
But we saw that. We said the same thing about Gordon as we said about Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy kind of ramped that up to a whole nother level.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Jimmy took the corporate side off.
He was very corporate. Now, you could argue maybe the greatest driver in the sport's history, but that's
not because you didn't know his personality. But right. I think that's why the Petty was more popular and Earnhardt was more popular, because not only were they good, but they had that personality. Now Richard, not so much, but I think Dale Earnhardt. The reason his 7 championships are popular is because of the fan base he had. Jimmy, you would think with 7 championships would have a larger fan base than what he does. And he doesn't, I think, just
and
because
did it
of
at the super hype of the sport.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, part of that. Yeah.
But think about Jeff Gordon. Think about when he came into the sport. Really, it wasn't anything that he was doing was controversial. Where he got his, I guess, black eye, if you want to call it, is from the Earnhardt fans.
Yeah.
And the Earnhardt fans, it's not that me, myself, just hated Jeff Gordon. But you know what? He's taken some of that luster away from the man in
because
black.
Because he was great.
Because he was great and he was winning.
And Earnhardt even recognized that.
Yeah. I mean, he was great. But personality-wise, meh.
I mean, outside of Hocevar, I guess you could probably make an argument that Hamlin, especially in the last few years, especially since he's gotten the podcast.
I think that's brought more out of him than anything else.
That and I guess part of it is maybe it's a comfort in your own skin of being able to do that. And sometimes, that takes longer to show through than it does for others. Like Hocevar just came out of the gate just oozing with personality, whether you like him or can't stand him. We've heard Alex on this program kind of groan and moan when we've talked about Hocevar because, he is a little bit reckless. But at least you know what you're getting with there, and it's genuine, and it's who he is. And I think we've seen a lot of that from Hamlin over the course of the last several years. Is you're starting to that's why you're what's he always say? There's something he always used to say talking about being your favorite
he
driver.
He beat your favorite driver.
He beat your favorite driver or something like that.
And which probably pissed a lot of people off in the stands.
But that's great. To me, that's great. We need more of that.
Yeah.
We don't have enough of those characters. Really and we're not talking like other sports league have hundreds of guys really to draw interest to their league. In this sport, there's 40 guys racing, and 15 of them are irrelevant, and the next 10 are semi-irrelevant. We're really talking about 10 or 15 guys, and if they don't have the personality to drive that, it doesn't really matter if I'm a Ryan Blaney fan or a William Byron fan. They're pretty much the same dude. It's who they're driving for and what in their success that kind of differentiates between them.
This may be different. You may not remember, but when I think Dave Marcus never won a race,
yeah,
but I remember he wore wingtip shoes.
He was a staple out there.
And then I think of
Dick Trickle. Dick Trickle smoked when he drove.
Smoking in the car. You know, so those are the things that, and David Pearson, David won a lot, but you know, it looks like he was the guy that would get out and whip your tail.
Yeah.
If you, you know, crossed him. Cale Yarborough, same way. Now, Cale won 3 championships, I think, or 5. He won 3 or 5.
3, I believe.
You know, Cale was one of those guys that didn't have a lot of personality except on the track. When he was out there, he was going to beat you. That's just the way that was. And so, I don't know. I think about Tim Richmond, probably one of the most charismatic kind of guy as far as personality, you know, goes in racing. And he was able to make money with that. I think now, and you think about that, Scott, when we were, you know, that was in the late 70s, early or 80s or whatever, where Lake Speed, people like that. Yeah, that
late 80s and early, yeah, 90s, Lake Speed.
Morgan Shepherd, dang on skates.
We lost the last couple of true personalities, in my opinion, in the sport here recently. One being Kyle Busch this, yeah, year. And then just a couple of years ago, he hung it up. It's Kevin Harvick.
But I don't think Harvick had the personality that Kyle Busch had.
I think, yeah, but even
– He would tangle with you. But now you see, like, Chase Elliott. There's nothing to Chase
Elliott.
If
he had a personality, he would never – he could never win a race, never finish in the top 10, and win most popular driver every year. I mean, wait, he already does that.
But he's just like the rest of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all just very kept to themselves, soft-spoken.
To me, with him, is he likes staying at home. I would say if you don't want to be what the fans need you to be, and I'm saying that in a weird way, right? So, but if you are Bill Elliott's son, Bill Elliott didn't have a lot of personality, but Bill Elliott won a lot.
I like the way he talked, though.
I did. But Bill Elliott won a lot, which made up for that. Chase doesn't win a lot. So you can't go and just be the normal average guy that just goes and doesn't win a lot. If you're going to win, I mean, Bill Elliott was the first one to go, what, 212, 214 at Talladega? You know, he won Daytona, won the first Winston Million. There was a lot there that to get behind. And at the end of the day, what we don't have now that they had then, I like a Ford guy. I like a Chevy guy. I drive a Ford. I drive a Chevy because of this particular thing.
I don't drive either one, but, you know.
I know, but I'm saying that's the way they did it.
I still like those guys. The one thing that I thought we were going to have an outlaw coming into the series just a couple of years ago, but it looks like Grandpa has reined him in. Ty Gibbs was coming into the Cup Series just, you know, I thought he was going to be great. And he's toned it down, but he's sitting well in the points. So, and I think that he's reeled it in, and that's why he's driving so well. It's just, guys, I don't know. It's just kind of, from the driver's standpoint, it's just kind of become a little bit boring hearing these guys.
They're too similar. That's it for me.
And who comes,
like, I will say this. I'll say this. Like, for years, the last several years of his career, Junior was probably my favorite driver. That was after Dale Jarrett retired. He was my favorite driver because he drove a Ford car, and he was the best Ford at the time. And since Junior's retired, I've had a hard, not that it's a little different now that we, and I'll use air quotes here, cover the sport. I kind of watch it a little differently back then. But I just, it's been hard to latch on to somebody in the sport because they all seem very similar in nature. There's not really a great, it takes more than just having a personality like Carson Hocevar. It also, that's why I think a lot of people loved Kyle Busch or hated Kyle Busch, because not only did he have personality, he also had the acumen to go out and win races and be very impactful on the racing side. So I think it's a combination of personality and talent and winning that kind of helps elevate those guys to the next level. Other than that, they just kind of get all grouped together. And when you don't have a wide pool of people to pick from and cheer from, it all feels very similar to me. And that's one reason why I probably don't have a favorite driver anymore.
I don't have a favorite driver anymore. But what I tend to do in my older age is latch on. If I'm watching a race or if I'm watching the championship, I'll look at it as maybe more sentimental. Like last year, I could give a crap less about Denny Hamlin.
Right.
But I was pulling for him to win it last year. You know, there's things like that, like SVG. Hey, I'm pulling for the older guy here that's kind of an underdog on some of these tracks, and plus to get under his skin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pulling for SVG sometimes. You know, I just don't – but as far as, like, pulling for the 5 or the 24 or the 48, I just don't have it in me anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say, I mean, I think we all kind of pull for the – we all kind of looked at Denny as the underdog, right? It's easy to pull for the underdog, and the reason is because he had never won a championship. But, you know, I when I look at the roster down below – in Trucks and in O'Reilly, there's not anybody. Jesse Love doesn't scream Mr. Personality to me, and so, you know, you've got the guy that drives the 33 that I don't really care for. What's his name?
Chandler Smith.
No, it was 21 down in O'Reilly, but he come up and filled in for Bush after his death.
Oh, driving the 33.
He's a prick, and could possibly be one of those guys that nobody would like, but. I think that's the thing, and they had a great discussion. Listen, if you hadn't listened to Dale Jr. Download with those guys, they talked about the late model series and how that's going and things that they're trying to do in the late model series that to kind of bring that up. One thing, and we can talk about this as we're 21 minutes in, I guess we just go ahead and hit it, but the All-Star race, has it run its course, and or not the All-Star, the Clash. Has it run its course? Should we even be running it? And if so, if we're going to run it at Daytona, and that's what we're going to do, as I can go over the schedule here in a minute for Daytona next year, what's the point in it? If you're going to let everybody do it, and Jason, I know back in the day, I always look forward to the Clash because it's the first time you saw cars on track, and you saw new sponsorships, you saw new body styles, you saw all that. That's not out there anymore.
Man, it's getting it kicked off. I mean, it's getting Speed Weeks kicked off, and it's like, okay, here we go. This is great because then, you know, you get through that. Then you had everything else through the week, and then you run the duels, the Gatorade duels, you know. Yeah. And it really is kind of like getting you ready and pumped up for that Sunday afternoon. I love it. I don't think you ever change it.
And it was, what, 2 weeks prior to the Daytona 500, I think? Because you had the Clash, and then you had, I think,
because they ran it during the off week of the Super Bowl. Now they've moved the Super Bowl back a week. They've moved it to the week after. It's still the week after the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl got moved back. So they're doing the Clash on Saturday, not to.
If you ask me, and I know we complain about this all the time, competing with other sports, right, or moving your stuff around for other sports, we had the perfect opportunity this past weekend to race somewhere
really
popular. We
had nothing going on. That's why I was still shocked last week when you said, oh, yeah, there's no race. I was like, what are you talking about? There's nothing going on right now. You need to be racing right now.
Yeah, it would be the great opportunity to slap a Daytona in there, something to where it's, you know, kind of a crapshoot, or even, you know, Atlanta at this point. Put that in the middle of that. Wow. So
now we could fix a schedule for them.
There's no doubt about that.
We should do that one day. We should come up with a schedule just to kind of throw
and
that
it would
out.
Make, and it would make sense.
Atlanta, Bristol, Daytona, Atlanta, Martins Vega, Talladega,
Martins
Atlanta,
Vega. That'd be cool.
Darlington.
Yeah. That's all it would be. We'd go to 6 tracks 3 times.
Spend a month out in California and Las Vegas. Don't swing through Texas.
Yeah. No. Just bypass that state altogether.
Jason's schedule would definitely not have anything in Texas going on. So,
no.
I want to thank our sponsors, Caldwell Paving and Grading, for the shock finisher of the week and the Victory Lane interview. I want to thank Lakeview Community Church. They have church tonight, 7 o'clock, lakeviewcommunity.church. For more information, as always, WebOb Digital Marketing. They've done a great job. If you saw, they posted information about our show tonight, and they can make that look just as popular or just as professional for your business. If you want that, for more information there, go to webive.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR when we come back.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's time for news in the world of NASCAR, brought to you by Bradley Veterinarian Hospital, BVH. Listen, they're a locally owned veterinarian hospital. They can take care of anything from your puppy to your livestock. Got a ton of great vets there. I've trusted them with my animals for 40 years. Give them a call, 479-2051, or visit their website, bradleyvet.com, to make your appointment today. NASCAR come out with a schedule for Daytona. Saturday, February 13th, is going to be the Wheatley Vodka Clash. That'd be the 13th of February. Wednesday, February 17th, will be the qualifying, presented by Busch Light. Thursday, 18th, of course, is the NASCAR Cup Series Duel at Daytona. No sponsor. Then Craftsman Truck on the 19th, O'Reilly on the 20th, and then Daytona 500 on February 21st. They did announce August 27th will be a day after this guy's birthday. Will be the O'Reilly Auto Parts race in for the Coke Zero Sugar 400, and on August 28th,
Saturday night.
I love this schedule. Yeah. This is old school. I mean, you get it all Daytona, the Clash, everything within 8 days instead of going out to the LA Coliseum and running some. You know, running around their track.
Yes, it is racing yeah. at its best. So
a lot of I don't know if a lot of drivers like that, because that's a lot more risky
business,
because you know how those things go.
Oh yeah, they'll wreck three cars. Some of them could wreck four.
I've seen three of them get wrecked. I think it was Logano that wrecked everything.
That's it. So we went over the cup standings last week, and those hadn't changed, but want to thank Brie Maya with Krylock Realtors for being a long-term sponsor of Finish Line Radio. She's the realtor I trust. You should, too. Give her a call, 269-598-6243 today. All right. Schedule for Iowa. Let's jump into that before we get Alex Hayden.
All right. Iowa is a 0.88-mile short track. They've only been there a few times. So we'll have to kind of see how that goes this week. But for Friday, ARCA 150 on FS1 at 7. Then on Saturday on CW at 5 o'clock is the O'Reilly race. Then on Sunday, Jamie, 3:30 on USA is the Cup race.
Of course.
But it looks like pretty decent weather this week. So
maybe MacGyver will be on before that.
Well, maybe. But anyways, they'll be racing 3:30 on Sunday on USA.
5% chance of rain.
I like it.
That's a good thing.
No, probably problem. Be a billion degrees in Iowa.
This is 80s. Summer.
Bunch of corn, 80s? Bunch of corn growing out there for sure. So
That's different.
Yeah. Hopefully it stays that way. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, it's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Always going to be a great time when we have Alex Hayden with MRN Radio join us. And Alex, listen, I know I gave you a little bit of a teaser on what we might talk about, but we had such a great discussion in the
first segment. I'm just going to warn you.
About this. So I want to get your opinion on this, because I know you'll have one. So Dale Jr. and Jeff Burton, Mr. Smith with that owns the racetracks, his name's
Marcus.
Had a big discussion on the Junior Download this week about personalities in drivers and how, you know, the sport is with the sponsorships and stuff like that. And with social media, they have the opportunity to reach more people than your Tim Richmonds back in the day, your Bill Elliott, your Cale Yarborough's and all that, because they didn't have that. They had to go out and win. They had to perform. They had to, when the camera was on them, they had to show personality that way, and that's the way they were able to build a fan base. Dale Earnhardt, for instance. I come up with the opinion of this, and I don't know if this makes sense. You'll tell me, I know. The production has to be more now to show the personality, where the production didn't have to be as much back in the day, because the personality was shown in wins and how they performed on the track and when the microphone was in front of them. I feel like now we have to boost up the production with all the in cars and everything else because there's the lack of personality in drivers.
I don't think there's a lack of personality by any means. I think drivers are guarded because of social media and because of the society that we're in. Because one thing that may be a joke from you might be funny, I could be offended by it, and it could end up costing you your job and your career and your livelihood. That's the society we live in. So we don't have a lack of personality. I can promise you that. I'm friends with everybody in that garage and all the drivers, and we've got some characters. But they also have to be exceptionally guarded on what they do. Just go back a couple of years back, Noah Gregson, all he did was like a tweet because he thought it was funny. People got offended by it, and he had to go to the sensitivity training and got suspended. I mean, there's it's a different world we live in because of social media. So I actually disagree with that. I don't think we have to create production to bring out personality. You can do what you want to do as far as production goes. Drivers aren't going to do it for the most part because they know that they can get in trouble by it.
Well, Alex, we had a long argument about this, so I just want to get your quick. Do you think, though, that this generation of drivers, corporate is really, it's not meant to be a derogatory word, but it seems like we are a little more corporate than we were in the past because it just seems like we're missing characters like Tony Stewart and Rusty Wallace and Dale Earnhardt Sr. We don't because they kind of fall more into the mold of a Jeff Gordon and a Jimmy Johnson.
I don't think we're more corporate now by any means. The thing that I think I can tend to agree with you on the corporate side of things are a lot of the race teams now have corporate minority owners, and that can be a big issue as well. We know Legacy Motor Club's got some of that. Roush Fenway Keselowski, the Fenway Sports Group, is a different entity. There's some other teams out there that have corporations that are minority owners on them as well. So, but I don't necessarily think we're more corporate now. I mean, the 90s, especially the early 90s and mid 90s. Was the corporate boom in NASCAR. And that's when you really had to settle down. I'm great friends with Rusty Wallace, and he's told me a ton of stories about how he had to change. And there is a thing called the Penske Way, and when you're representing, even though it's a beer company, in Miller Brewing Company, you had to be buttoned up, and you had to be on your best behavior all the time because you were representing them. So I think the 90s was the corporate boom more so than what we have now. As far as sponsorship goes and the ropes and the reins that they had there. But I think I do agree in the fact that it's a little more corporate now with the ownership side of things.
So let me ask you this then. And you've been in the sport a long time, how would you make it more appealing now? And I know you're probably tired of the whole thing of somebody saying, well, you know, NASCAR, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to change this, change that. Look, if it was one thing to bring the younger generation in, if they wanted to come in, or because we're in the mid-40s and uppers because we've watched, you know, over
careful.
The years. Yeah. So how would you do it, Alex Hayden? If you were over NASCAR, the czar of NASCAR, if your last name was France, what would you do?
To get young people paying attention or just more fans paying attention?
I think more fans.
That's
than
a
fans.
Drastically different thing.
Sure.
Yes.
Both.
Oh. He wants you to get both. He wants you to get younger and more.
Just
Alex.
Just go in general. Make it easier.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you look at the numbers don't lie. Are we down from what we were around the year 2000? Yeah, we are. But I think that was just a bit of an anomaly back in those days. Everything just boomed, and NASCAR became the flavor of the week, if you will, with just general society. That's changed. Things have just changed. We're back to being rock solid. We're on stable ground. We sell out more races than we don't sell out now, believe it or not. People don't want to buy into that. People don't want to believe it. Iowa Speedway this weekend, sold out, by the way. They'll be announcing that, by the way. I think I just gave that away. But it's sold out. In Richmond next week is almost a sellout. They expect to be sold out. So we don't have that big of an issue. People are still NASCAR fans. And the TV numbers don't lie. The numbers are up for the most part. Look at the O'Reilly Auto Parts series, which is considered the second tier. They're averaging over 1 million viewers on the CW for the O'Reilly series. So that's huge. That's up, way up. So I don't necessarily think we have that big of an issue as far as getting people involved. People want to be involved. People are still fans. Do we want every single human being to be a NASCAR fan? That's the goal. That's every sports goal, and that's every business's goal. You can drive up to Lowe's Home Improvement Store. You can go to Home Depot. You can go to Menards. You got a choice. So that's the whole thing, is we've got far more in today's world, far more options to be entertained. We've got far more options to spend your ancillary dollar on, let alone having ancillary dollars. That's a whole different discussion, because right. that's a problem. So to me, I think NASCAR is in an extremely healthy spot right now because of that. The TV contracts we just signed is incredible. Billions with a B. If we were in bad shape and we didn't have enough fans, it wouldn't be that way. So yes, you always want more. We're greedy. Everybody's greedy. You want more. But we're in a great spot where we're at. That doesn't mean we stop. So I went a long way to get to how would I do it. I think we just stay the course, because what's going on right now is working. We're not going to see that roller coaster spike in a high hill climb to get to the top. This is more of a very slow grade, gradual climb up. That's just what we're doing, and that's the world we live in because of all the other options. The cell phone that I'm talking on right now is the biggest thing right now for young people. If it's not on that cell phone, they don't care. And it doesn't matter what it is. And that's baseball, basketball, football, it doesn't matter. Everybody's looking for the younger fan. I think part of it, too, when you look at stick and ball sports, is they can sell shoes that kids can buy and want to buy and wear to school. NASCAR is a little different. They have to be fireproof, and they have to be specialized. Not the type of thing you're going to wear down the hallway in the eighth grade.
No. Hey, Alex, I got a question for you. We've been, talking at odd's length all year, kind of the struggles. But if you look and you say Blaney won at Echo Park, you look at Logano won at North Wilkesboro, and then five of the top 11 finishers at Indy were Fords. Have they figured something out here in the last month or so?
I don't think they figured something out as much as the schedule just works for them. Indy, they had a couple, if you recall, what we call the untimed cautions. And you're either on the good side of them or the bad side of them. And for Ford, and specifically Logano, they were on the good side of it at Indianapolis. But we know Toyota's got the aero advantage right now. That's why Chevy has the new Camaro this year. And that's why Ford will have a new body on the Mustang next year, because they're trying to catch up with the Toyota advantage in the aerodynamic department. But on the short tracks, that is something that doesn't come into play quite as much. So Ford still has the best horsepower over Chevrolet and Toyota. So it's just I think the schedule works in their favor. We're going to Iowa this week, a short track. Blaney won here 2 years ago. We go to Richmond next week where, oh, by the way, Ford's pretty good there too. Look at the numbers. They don't lie there. New Hampshire, oh, Blaney won that last year. Daytona, all three Penske drivers have won at Daytona. So, and I know I'm just highlighting Penske, but it's just top of my head. But Front Row Motorsports, they won $1 million at Indianapolis by being the in-season challenge winners, by defeating Toyotas and Chevys and Fords. So I don't think that they found anything as much as the schedule and a few fortunate cautions have fallen their way.
Yeah. So talk about Carson Hocevar for a second. And I feel like I can't see you through the phone, but I feel like you just rolled your eyes. But I don't know that I like the bird flip for no reason. But I also like what I feel like he's taking an underfunded vehicle and he's getting the most out of it week in and week out.
I'll start with the second part of that. I don't call it an underfunded vehicle. Their numbers are very close to just about any other team out there on the funding. And Spire Motorsports, they've got the same number of wins this year that Hendrick does. So I can't say that they're underfunded and doing more with less. By the way, Spire has an alliance with Hendrick. So I think on the front part of that, I'm with you. Drivers give each other the bird 20 times a race, every single race. I don't know why people are making a big deal out of this. Again, I go back to the numbers thing that don't lie. Carson Hocevar has been involved in 27 on-track incidents involving 30 different drivers this season alone. That is fact. That's not something I'm coming up. That is pure fact.
He's getting the bird every time he turns a corner.
I just piss everybody off, you know.
And Hocevar is going to have a hard time winning races and championships. And the reason I say that is because there's hardly anybody on the racetrack that cares for him. And we all know these drivers mess with each other. Doesn't mean you're just going to wipe each other out. They could. I mean, we saw Corey Heim get into the back of him at San Diego. But Hocevar wasn't going to win that race anyway. He had already worn his tires out. I just think it's a matter of Hocevar has hacked off too many people and is so brash and so non-caring about the competition that they're going to make it hard for him to win races and championships. No one's going to help him in a draft. We've seen that happen a bunch already, heck, this year outside of Talladega, when they wrecked in front of him. And then throw in the fact, championship-wise, yeah, there's a lot of games these teams play with each other to get a little slower in front of you, make it hard to pass, kick your pit box right in front of you or right behind you to make your entrance or exit very difficult, slow you down on pit road every single time. There's a lot of little tricks of the trade that go on like that. So Hocevar is creating some fans out there, but he's also creating a lot of enemies with fans and with other drivers on the racetrack. So he's polarizing, but I think at some point he's going to have to mature and he's going to have to realize you can't be cavalier all the time. I think Harvick said it in the last couple of weeks because Hocevar said, anybody that wants it, come on, bring it on. And Harvick said, be careful what you wish for because one of these guys are going to knock the teeth out.
Alex, is there any real logical explanation to what's happened to the 45 car? They started off the year, and I get it. You can't keep winning at the clip they were winning in this sport. But it just seems like they have really struggled the last 6 or 8 weeks. Sometimes it just finished races, and I know that's not always their fault. But they have kind of struggled. I know they're sitting second in points right now, but what kind of has happened to the 45, and are you concerned long-term as we start heading towards the chase?
Not concerned long-term. I don't have them winning the championship. But I think what, in my just opinion, and the team won't ever admit to a whole lot. I mean, no team will do that because that'll show weakness. But when you come out of a gate and dominate and win like they did, you tend to get a little complacent. And the competition tends to work a little harder, dig a little deeper. And when they find a little something extra, the competition that is, and you don't, you're going to fall behind. Throw in the fact that it's hard to maintain that type of performance week in and week out from February all the way to November. So they're going to have some stubbing of the toes along the way, which they have. They've had some self-inflicted problems, whether it's speeding on pit lane or cars having problems handling-wise or mechanically, whatever the case may be. I still think they've got speed in the race cars. I'm not concerned about them. I think 2311 as a whole is really progressing. Riley Herbst has got speed that he never had before. Heck, Corey Himes won two races now. And then throw in the fact that Bubba is kind of hit and miss, just like Tyler Reddick is. So to me, I'm not concerned about them. I just think it's a matter of they had a lot of success early and maybe got a little complacent. Now they're just trying to regain that mojo, and that's hard to do.
Absolutely, and momentum plays a big role going into the chase, too, so you want to make sure you pick that up. So, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, Collins. I feel like we hadn't talked to you in a long time.
It has been a while. Alex, a busy man, though.
He is a busy man. Traveling man, that's the thing. So heading to get some corn this weekend in Iowa, I'm sure.
Yeah, get a little sweet corn while we're out there, and why not? I mean, that's what they're known for out there. So I will say that there's something to pay attention to that will be coming out maybe later this evening, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. It has a lot to do with stage and time on the clock. So the stages and how long it takes to do cautions. Pay close attention. Things are going to be changing.
Breaking news, Alex Hayden.
That's not even breaking news. That's a teaser. That's worse.
That is.
That's now, like an end credit scene in one of the Marvel's movies. Just gave me a little teaser.
Yeah, and that'll be across the three national series across the board, too. So it'll be uniform for Cup, O'Reilly, and Truck Series. I can't give you specifics, obviously, but things are going to be changing.
That's great. Well, and we'll look forward to hearing you on the radio the next 2 weeks at Iowa and Richmond. Back to work for you, sir.
I can't wait. I'm bored. Alicia's sick of me being around the house. It's time to go to work.
Well, we appreciate it, man. You always do a good job, and we really appreciate you being a part of Finish Line Radio.
Always fun. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. You can hear him on ESPN Radio 101.3 this weekend. So, man, always good. Even though when he disagrees with me. And he did a lot.
He did a lot today.
Yeah, that was definitely.
I think he missed. You know, we were saying, I wanted to throw out there politically correct, not so much corporate, but PC.
I think that's,
yeah. You know.
Well, and I mean, I understand too. We got no time, 30 seconds. But I understand him saying them being scared. I think at some point somebody has to just say, I don't care.
Well, you look at the issue with Larson had, yeah. You look at Gregson had, you look at Suarez had.
But there's certain things you can't touch, but there's some things you can.
I'm just talking about the on-track, personalities. Right. That's what I'm
Give me
thinking.
That. Not so much on social media, I guess. So, all right, make sure you tune in next week. We'll get Iowa broken down, and we'll get you ready for Richmond.
I guess we'll be recapping breaking news.
He killed me. He killed my time. Peter, I always get it on time. We always have a game over here, and Scott threw it in. Yeah, recapping breaking news on cautions and everything else. So we'll figure all that out. Make sure you stay tuned tonight on the socials and see if you can find it. So for Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.